SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, hour three on this Memorial Day, and we'll spend time with Nick Tamaro and then close out the morning with Mike Welch. We'll get Mike's report on everybody that is working toward the Belmont, and we'll talk about Belmont with Nick. And good news was that the turf course in good enough shape to conduct grass racing today. Nick, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Okay. All right. Going to do something before we talk about the Belmont card today. We didn't get much Belmont work in leading into the weekend. We were focused on Monmouth and Santa Anita and elsewhere. But we should mention Jiddu, the Frankel for the Zayats. And the Zayats had a nice weekend. They also won the Arlington Classic with 10 Strike, right? Marshall Graham involved now with Esmosh, our friends the Pierces, Brad Esmosh. And Jiddu, though, winning that Paradise Creek and is talking about a Royal Ascot trip.
Yeah, I heard that. I guess they're going to run the St. James's Palace, which would be an interesting try. I don't know if he's quite up to par with those types, and I guess everybody now wants to try their hands going to Ascot, which is fun. Yeah, certainly tests our horses here a little bit in a way that they haven't before. I don't know necessarily why it's become so cachet to go over there, but can't say I blame anyone too badly and wish him the best of luck. I do think they're the one good thing for a horse like him who really can't go a mile and a quarter in the Belmont Derby is that he's really not going to miss anything, right? So there's something to be said for that. You know, the National Museum of Racing Hall of Fame or something is not a race that you opt not to go to Ascot for. So I don't blame them for taking that try. And yeah, it was kind of a measured win. I don't think we would be totally accurate in saying it was overly impressive. It was impressive in that it seemed easy, but it wasn't impressive in the sense that he just walloped the field by any means. He's a good horse with some ability, and he's been handled very carefully. And so hopefully he'll continue on that way.
Well, the Ascot phenomena continues, attracting widespread interest, and we'll start.
No, I mean, I could rant forever, and nobody wants to hear that. I don't know. You know, I guess this is what people brought up in years past about Dubai, but I've at least from the calendar standpoint, I've always understood why people go to Dubai. You generally don't miss much, depending on what division you're going from, but maybe unless you're a sprinter, but you go to Ascot in the middle of the year for a modest prize money. You know, credit to Nick Smith and everybody who recruits for horses to go over there because they've really gotten a great contingent to go recently. I guess Leslie Ward is to thank quite a bit. But, yeah, I'll never understand why horses like – I mean, I guess Rushing Fall is not going anymore, but I think she was mentioned to go, and it feels like that would just break up her year so much and keep her from running in races that really make sense that are for significantly more prize money. So, I don't know. I guess it would be an experience of a lifetime for a lot of people, and I don't blame anyone for thinking about it, but I just wish that it didn't happen quite as often.
Fair enough. Before we talk about today's racing and give people some ideas about the card, your recap, because on Friday we talked to both Pete Fornatale and to Joe Metka, Philly Joe, and celebrated his win. And boy, that I saw the video, but even if I hadn't seen the video, Nick, I would have known just how much pleasure there was involved in Joe's win at Santa Anita a week ago Sunday.
Oh, it was a blast. I mean, obviously, if I was going to finish behind anyone, he was the one on the short list, and so it was a lot of fun. You know, he, as I'm sure I'm going to have to go back and listen to his appearance, I know he was nervous, so I told him, don't worry, that you were gonna go easy on him. It's not gonna be anything too difficult. But no, it was a lot of fun. It was a great experience in terms of it being something totally new and different, and you know, while the format, I think, worked to every player's strength in one way or the other, there's some that felt better maybe about Saturday's format, some more about Sunday's. But it was Joe who was able to put it together, and he had two, you know, good enough opinions on Sunday when basically nobody had any. So it works out sometimes that way, and I'm just elated for him, and I think you'll see him. He had always dabbled in contests here and there, but you'll see him get quite a bit more involved now, especially, I told him, now you showed everybody the way, so you gotta stay out in front.
Well, looking forward to watching the final produced TV version, the pilot that is going to be crafted out of the compilation of tape. So I'm sure there were some funny moments and engaging elements. Well, let's engage on the action today in New York, Nick, and keeping it on the grass does make this. I was worried that this thing was, you know, was going to go sideways because the sequences, whatever you like to play, is outstanding. Right from early on the card. If you're an early pick five player, you should take an interest in there. If you want to play the late action, whatever you want to do in here should be some nice sequences and some nice prices. This is usually a card where, you know, there's some favorites returning to New York Bread Company, and they might, you know, be easy to rely on. But there's usually a few prices to be produced on these showcase cards.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, from the commentator working backwards, I think that one of the types that you just referenced is Diversify, given that he's now getting back to New York Bread Company, first time since the Evan Shipman last year when, you know, he just walloped the field. He's better than these horses, but the issue that you run into is Diversify as effective when he's not on the lead, because there's an abundance of early speed in this race. You have Control Group, who's going to show speed, Mr. Buff, Jewel Condisco, is sprint speed. So he's going to have to rate, and that's really going to be the linchpin in the entire race. Weekend Hideaway coming out probably makes it a little bit easier because it did look like he was one of the next best horses, but I do think you're obligated to try at least one alternative in any of the multi-race plays. And I think Papa Shot's got a chance to improve getting back to a New York Bred race after facing Harlan Punch when Harlan Punch was really in the midst of a very, very strong run during the winter. So he comes back off a little bit of a layoff and has run a couple of bang-up races at Belmont. So he feels like one who'll offer a little bit of value and one that you probably want to throw in there. Obviously, Diversify the horse to beat, and you wouldn't spend a whole lot of money going a different direction or excluding him altogether. But I do think that he's interesting enough. Pat on the back going to Jeremiah Englehart is interesting as well. And he's a horse who has always been at his best at Belmont. I feel like he's been at his absolute best on wet surfaces. I don't think there's going to be that much moisture in this track, but he's run well enough to get a long look, and it really feels like he's going to benefit from the pace setup in here. If he's able to lay back and make one run, I know he closed last time at 6 mile is an entirely different game. I just think they're going to sprint away from him in this race. And if they do, then maybe he can settle and make one run and certainly could get in there at a big price.
T loves a fight.
He's another one that, yeah, if you believe that, like I do, that the pace is going to be strong, then you'll definitely want to give him some consideration. I just wonder if his run will be quite as effective at a mile. Pat on the back having won at a mile makes me feel a little bit better, but I do think if you think the pace is going to be quick, then you have to be on him.
Yeah, I would just, going to be a little, that race two back, that conditional allowance when he throttled Weekend Hideaway, if he runs back to that puts him squarely in the mix. The Kingston comes up ahead of the commentator, and of course this was a race between the long-standing King Carissa Carafa and company. Those were heady matchups. The cast is changing a little bit now with these older New York Breds on the grass, and the amazing Voodoo Song, who came back to the winner's circle, going back to, was that 2 weeks ago, I think. Yeah, 2 weeks ago when he won.
Yeah, he's this is an interesting race, especially Black Type coming out. I think makes it, obviously the pace is not going to be quite as fast, but still going to be pretty strong between Fox Rules and Voodoo Song. And boy, Voodoo Song does not mind a fight. he looked like he had no shot whatsoever when they turned for home last time and ended up finding a way to fight off both Tomalane and American Guru, both of whom were good open company turf sprinters. And Tomalane was first time Brad Cox, had a perfect trip moving up on the outside, and American Guru looked like a horse who could be anything after two starts for Jimmy Durkin. So we'll see if they set the table for a late running horse. The one that you're kind of alluding to in terms of the baton being passed in the division is Offering Plan. He feels like the one that is just supposed to kind of take over this bunch. It would have been he and Get Jets. I guess Get Jets is back in training after being retired temporarily. Once he comes back, I think it'll really be between these two mainly. But I will say, and it's not me just being a friend and a homer, but Dot Matrix is an interesting horse in this race. Mm-hmm. Dot Matrix has become an entirely different horse. He's not an entirely different horse with Brad Cox. He's improved quite a bit. And that's because Brad Cox specializes with turf routers of all types. One of the things that seemed to go awry late in his stint with Abigail Adsit was that he couldn't get out of the gate. And, you know, those kind of things, with due respect to her, you feel like are something relating to training. And suddenly the blinkers came off. The horse was able to get out of the gate quite a bit better. Now, he did have a bad start at Keeneland last time and ended up overcoming that altogether to get up to win right on the wire. So he's a versatile horse who can be positioned almost anywhere, and he'll probably get the first run on Offering Plan. So I would say that with a well-timed ride at a mile, he's the next biggest threat behind Offering Plan, along to a certain extent with Mo Maverick, who should be in that kind of garden spot just a little bit behind. So it's an interesting bunch, and while there may not be a King Creesa and Lubash and Carafa, at least there is still Carafa. We got a, looks like a new fun cast that's developing for the future.
Well, and there, and, you know, you mentioned Black Tide coming out, but there still is there's plenty of front end interested parties between Fox Rules and Voodoo Song, and there's going to be company for Mo Maverick, who's got an angle over that's a tricky, that goofy dog leg going this trip. So, but as always, whether it's the allowance division, when it comes to New York breds, long on the turf, it's the most fun races in New York, and you get more prices in this division, New York bred allowance and then the stakes sometimes, but I love New York breds on the going long on the grass. The Mike Lee, as we start to work our way through the Big Apple Triple, the 3-year-old New York breds, they'll go to Finger Lakes for the New York Derby and then the Albany, and starts out at 7/8 in the Mike Lee.
Yeah, you know, this is an interesting affair, because you have a couple very impressive wins, a True Giant and Retinova. True Giant was actually favored in the New York Stallion race he was favored in an allowance race a couple of weeks ago at Belmont and was scratched. And Retinova is a horse who took over as a heavy favorite last time when there was a scratch late in the game. Those two, a True Giant is probably more of a likely winner, I think, just because of his speed. But Retinova sure has run well in two starts. Looks like he could be anything. I'm so locked in this race to Vinu Mokenu, who I thought made the first move in the Bayshore last time. That was probably not the exact place you wanted to be. I think that with the blinkers going on and now him sort of being second off this extended layoff, I think he'll be in a much better position to win. I do think the pace will set up quite well if anybody pushes a True Giant at all. And even if they don't, you know, he's a horse that coming off a bit of a break off that impressive win, I think you'd be willing to take a little bit of a chance against him while certainly using him in any of the multi-race plays. Vinu Mokenu, to me, just seems to like he's going to offer so much more value. And with an effort that moves forward any bit off of his last race, I think it'll be very, very tough.
I would also, I completely agree, and I'm frankly rooting for Al Gold and Vinu Mokenu, and Al has shifted the tack from Florida to Jersey to the Saratoga. They are now the Saratoga Golds for the summer. Analyze the odds a little bit more time now that Jason Service has had a chance with him. Expect an improved performance from him, and he seems useful, Nick, maybe to come running late and get something, and he could boost your try maybe.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think 7/8 is probably exactly where he wants to be, and I would never discount anything that this barn could do off the claim, that's for sure.
We'll look at the Bowery, and these are the fillies getting their season started summer, New York group, and I guess this was what Linda Rice had in mind when she bypassed the action down in Baltimore last week with Midnight Disguise.
And of course, she has two really, I think, that are both capable. Obviously, Midnight Disguise is the much better of the two. And figuring that now getting back to New York Bred Company at a distance that really fits her perfectly, I think she'll be very, very tough to beat. I think the 7/8 is fine. I know she's kind of a big galloping thing that needs to get going early, which I think she will. And Belmont feels like it'll fit her like a glove. I know she didn't debut until they got to Aqueduct, but with the blinkers on, hopefully she'll be a little bit more alert early, and I think she's definitely better than we saw last time. So I'm expecting a big bounce back. Let Me Take This Call is interesting enough. Coming back off a brief break, she clearly showed some ability in her first two starts and should get a pretty favorable trip pace-wise. I'm a little intrigued by Baby Boss. I know she got away with kind of a slow pace last time, but I thought that it really signals pretty big improvement, and this is the kind of barn I think where when you see them get one going, you do want to serve notice. So I'm going to include her in any kind of multi-race play that goes through there. I guess just the Naira Betts pick five starts there, but you have a pick three, of course, going through it, and so, you know, I think she'll get the right kind of trip and setup, and probably won't be the 23-1 she was last time, but still should offer plenty of value.
You know, I don't want people to overlook the potential of the Invader. You know, you got an interesting circumstance with Jeff Allen coming to town with She's Quiet, and this is her first time. You know, she, granted, broke her maiden at Charlestown and then wins a first level allowance at Laurel, but still, this is her first time. Those are open company, and you don't know what you're facing, and now she comes and faces New York Breds, and granted, there's some fancy New York Breds in here, including the ones we've highlighted, but I would not discount her breaking sharp and taking them a long, long way. She's Quiet, and she's going to be a price.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And you know there's only one way to go, being on the inside, so you know, she's clearly one that has some ability and will be totally overlooked. And, you know, a lot of these Invaders that you know only have one thing that they have to do. They sort of only have one job. And if she gets out there and can set the pace, we'll see. It could get interesting.
And there's not open-mouth speed in here. I mean,
no.
And the tendency might be to say, well, you know, she's a pop-and-stop type. And all of a sudden,
well, she hasn't
you watch...
Yet.
Yeah, exactly. She'll keep going. I'm anxious to see how the track has played, too, considering the rain we had. Turn our attention to the Critical Eye, and here's the mile for fillies and mares. And we got a nice cast in here as well.
Yeah, it sure was nice to see Highway Star bounce back last time. I think being back at Belmont made a huge difference. She clearly loves Belmont, and the Ruffian was obviously her best performance of the year, and only her second start, but she was so bad in Heavenly Prize, you either figured she would be retired or that it was just too bad to be believed. So, good to see. I mean, I think she's the horse to beat. Obviously, has had limited tries in New York Bred Company, going back to really her three-year-old season, and should get a favorable trip here, too. I think there's pace on both sides of her, with Bluegrass Flag sure to show some speed. Frostwise comes out of a very strong open company effort in the top flight. Blue Prize is a solid grade three type of mare, and she's another one who it doesn't have to be on the lead. She can be positioned almost anywhere. She might actually have benefited from this being a little bit longer, but being the mile, I think you get a horse that has a little bit more tactile speed like Highway Star that maybe has an advantage. One of the questions that will definitely be answered is whether Verdant Pastures can do what she did last year in the Empire Distaff, because she was amazing in the Empire Distaff. Mm-hmm. I couldn't believe the pace she set to go on like that. And it's a little hard to believe that off the layoff she can do this. I've learned not to really, not to be too critical of anything Charlie Baker is trying, because he's certainly very, very skilled. So I would find a way probably to throw her into the early pick five, and obviously you'd use Holiday Disguise, who, even though her last couple of races have been, her last race was dull, it was in a very, very difficult spot, all things considered, and the mile is really no issue for her. having won back in February at Aqueduct. So she seems like one that you just definitely have to have as well. And so, you know, and you'll have to, obviously have to take probably 8-5 or 9-5. But I think between she and Highway Star, you're likely to be landing on a winner.
The first stake of the day is the Mount Vernon. And here the filly and mares are going to do the mile from the dog leg. And Epping Forest caught my attention at what could be an attractive 5-1.
You know what? I think she got scratched.
Did she?
She did, which was surprising, actually, because I thought that she might actually have a sneaky kind of pace advantage in there. Mm-hmm. The interesting thing about this race is that 55 is going to be a huge favorite. 55 is a one-way closer who needs pace, and she's not going to get it. So this is now just a seven-horse field. The only speed, really, on paper kind of looks like Frosty Margarita stretching back out, but, boy, she's not exactly a burner. So because what you're going to obviously have to have with 55 is Javier Castellano getting her into the game a little bit earlier. She was victorious in the Ticonderoga last year against a much tougher field, and obviously is the horse to beat, but you wonder how much Tizelle may really have a tactical edge on her, and Tizelle is a talented enough horse to beat her when things go her way. And in the Ticonderoga, I thought she moved a little early when the pace ended up collapsing, and so I think with a better setup in here, that could certainly turn the tables, because Tizelle's last race coming off the bench, granted it may not have been much of a field, but it was still an open company race, and she looked really, really good.
You know, just looking at with you mentioning the pace situation, JC's Shooting Star is going to stretch back out, and that can be a formula to get a horse in position. She might be a little usable in there.
It would behoove them to use any early speed she can offer on the stretch out, because with it being so devoid of pace, you would really want somebody who can be somewhat forwardly placed at all. And this is a lot of times what ends up getting a lot of short-priced Chad Brown favorites beaten, is that, no, quite honestly, the majority of them don't have much speed. And you get into a scenario on the turf where somebody is out there dictating terms, and you can't quicken enough to get to them, and so, you know, you end up falling short, which I'm not necessarily saying that's what's going to happen with 55, but it makes her vulnerable, right? And so it makes you want to try, I think, as many alternatives as possible in a bet like the early pick five, where you can create an incredible amount of value in beating a short price favorite like 55.
Let me just, as we wrap up, I want to ask you about the nightcap, because for those that play the late sequence, that 10th race, which is a filly and mare allowance going the mile and the 16th, you get a chance to look at that?
Just a glance. I do think that obviously we talked a little bit about how you can get to it through Diversify and maybe one other, and not a whole lot of help necessarily before that. I didn't exactly have a particularly strong opinion. I thought that Spring Folly was ridden a little foolishly last time to be a little too close to the pace and probably needed to be allowed to lay back. I know that Cumbria is going to end up probably being the favorite, but I don't know necessarily if I would want to land there. I didn't think that was the greatest of fields last time. Granted, it was a big move up, and this is a horse who should be best ultimately on the turf. But I felt like he probably wanted to cast a wide net. And if you believe that Spring Folly was ultimately looking to go longer, then I thought she was interesting enough at what should be a pretty fair price. And clearly, there's going to be a lot of support as well for My Heart Belongs to Daddy, who was an impressive first-out winner for Chad Brown. And obviously, his horses are going to get bet no matter what. So Baronet, kind of our old friend, does feel like she's in a good spot as well pace-wise, because she can get out and almost is forced to show some speed being drawn out there in the mile and the 16th on the widener. Mile and 16th on the widener, of course, is not as unforgiving for outside posts as a mile and 16th on the inner. So, but you'll still have her in a forward position, and that's where she's always been at her best. So that's another one I think that if you're playing a pick four and you're using A's, B's, and C's, you probably want to find a way to throw her in as a C.
Yeah, Unbridled Adventure, one of those that's been nosing around, hitting boards at this level, and then she switched over to the grass right at the opening week, and that was a sneaky good effort, third in there. I going to have her at least underneath. Well, Nick, should be a nice holiday weekend, and then we're going to see you late next week.
Yep. See you Thursday. Friday morning, day before the Belmont.
Very good. All right. So we'll do our classic Friday visit with Nick, and we'll see if there's something good this weekend to bring Nick in for. We will. Nick, good luck. Appreciate the Monday visit, an at the races tradition.
That's right. Sounds great, Steve. Thanks. Have a great day.
Nick Tamaro, NTAM 1215, giving you a leg up on the Belmont card today. Speaking of Belmont, we'll take a quick break and come back with Mike Welch, and we'll get Mike's thoughts from all the way back to Friday and go through all the Belmont participants that have been preparing in New York. And if you haven't had a chance to keep track on the Belmont clocker, they're at all of his notes are at drf.com, but we'll get Mike Welch in here next at the races.
The latest racing news. It's at the races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BrizNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BrizNet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BrizNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year and is available at BrizNet.com/APR. The BrizNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BrizNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BrizNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Brown Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Brown Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Porchbills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Porchbills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Porchbills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Porchbills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Minutes to noon to send you out into the race day, and we'll get Mike Welch in a minute. I can quickly give you save some time on the front end instead of the back end. And the action today, Arlington and Belmont, of course, as we just outlined, Belterra, Canterbury, Churchill Downs, Emerald, Finger Lakes, Golden Gate Fields, Gulfstream, Louisiana Downs, Monmouth, Mountaineer, Parks, Pimlico, Hi-Ho, closing day. Remember, force out on all the multis, anything that has a carryover. They've got the jackpot. Pocatello, Prairie Meadows, Presque Isle, Remington, Rio Doso, Santa Anita, Sunray, Thistledown, and Arapahoe. So it's a busy day. You pretty much can find your action wherever. Mike Welch busy from early in the mornings as the Belmont clocking continues. And going back to Friday, Noble Indy and Vino Rosso. And then we've got Hofburg and Gronkowski as well. So plenty to keep track of. Mike, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
Let's start with Friday, and we'll run down everybody you've seen. And, of course, Audible out, but Noble Indy may be in. And Vino Rosso, some thoughts about the start of the weekend action back on Friday.
Well, I'm going to guess Noble Indy is going to be in, and you know, barring him not repeating the work we saw Friday next week. I was pretty impressed with him. Look, it's only half mile, you know. But it's the best work I've seen from him since back when I first started watching him in April. His best works always came with the blinkers on, and he's always a little lackluster without them. But Todd took them off the other day, and I thought he outworked Vino Rosso, who's a pretty good workhorse, a pretty good horse. So I think Todd was really happy, and I guess now he's maybe even considering, you know, running him with blinkers off next time. So I'm going to guess he'll work him without him next week, and we'll see what happens. But it was a good move for both. I mean, they went 47 over a bit of a quick track, but they did it easily, and they look good galloping out. So obviously both came out of the Derby in good shape, but neither had, you know, much of a chance with the trips and in the mud like that, getting in back and behind horses and getting all that slop kicked up in the on them. So, you know, they're both eligible to rebound here. I'm not saying they're going to be justified, but, you know, they look good. So that's all I could say. You know, from my standpoint, I give them both a thumbs up.
Well, before we move to Saturday and Gronkowski and more, some of the non-Belmont Stake participants, and you did make note of Mind Your Biscuits getting ready for the Met Mile, and also Mark Hennig, who looks like he's going to have a nice hand going into Festival Week. Some thoughts about Strike Power and Mind Your Biscuits.
Yeah, I mean, you know, both horses are really good workhorses, and they both work well. I've seen Strike Power a lot this winter, and this was a move that was pretty reminiscent of what I saw back at Gulfstream Park before those big efforts. You know, we're going to put a line through the Fountain of Youth. A, he doesn't want to go that far, and B, when you get into a early speed battle that he got in, you know, you certainly can't fault him for the end result there. But he looked good the other day. He finished well, did it easy. So I haven't been watching him, you know, all along since he really came out of that last race. But he looked fine here the other day. And Mind Your Business look really good. I mean, Joel took him out to the middle of the track to try to keep him from doing too much. But the point of the move was to get a real, you know, really open the lungs up. He went 6 furlongs. He actually broke off as I was still finishing up with Vino Rosso and Noble Indy. So I didn't pick him up till he got past the 5.5. So I had him 5/8 to the wire. But he galloped out well, looked good. You know, like I said, he was out near the middle of the racetrack. So, you know, he appears to come out of the Dubai race okay. You're always concerned. When they make that trip in any regards, and B, when you come off a hard race like he had. But it was such a spectacular effort. I mean, the only horse all day on that program to win from off the pace like that. So, and he loves it here at Belmont, so no reason to believe he's not going to bring his A game again in the Met Mile.
Well, Hofberg watching is coming here at Saratoga, and Dave Norton keeping track of the horses up here. And so, Mike, when the Belmont clocking reports for festival weekend next Friday, Saturday, Dave's contributions will be important. But Hofberg with, I guess, you know, from everything everybody said, you know, a nice enough work himself getting ready.
Right. You know, we've seen him work well before. He's still in a little inexperience. I think he's going to wind up being the buzz horse here because of his performance in the Derby. You know, ran on late, and is obviously expected to move forward from the experience and with the added distance. Looked fine the other day, you know, from the tape I saw. I wish he would have his last work here, but I don't think that's going to be the case. That's going to be the case with a lot of them, unfortunately. Going to have to do a lot of tape watching. But I am going to send, if I don't go to Kentucky to Justify's last work, which is still being discussed, I'm going to send Donald Harris. He's in Kentucky over there for Justify and as many of the other Belmont and hopefully other Churchill Downs-based Belmont Stakes weekend horses that he can get over there to see.
Well, the works on Saturday included Gronkowski's first official Chad Brown helmed work, and I saw it on video myself thanks to ExpressBet TV, and Blended Citizen worked as well. And despite the fact that he had, you know, was coming out of the, he's got recency with the Peter Pan 2 weeks ago, he apparently, I've not seen that one yet on video, but he apparently wowed not just people watching from afar, but you as well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we didn't expect him to do too much just 2 weeks coming out of that, out of his career best effort, and he really wasn't allowed, you know, he looked like he was just galloping along, and then you look down at the watch, and, you know, he had gone, I think, 47, if I remember right, and did it as easy as can be, but he went about 47-3, but he came home 23-3. Now, to be fair, the track was, for whatever reason, it was a lot quicker from 5:30 to 8 that morning than it was after the break from 8:30 on when Gronkowski worked. But still, visually, it was very impressive. I mean, you know, it was only a half mile. He galloped out well. But, again, it's just a good sign that he's come out of the Peter Pan, you know, doing well, and, you know, you can maybe expect him to move forward on.
Well, the bigger question, because of such an unknown and because the level of competition very murky for Gronkowski across the UK, but some thoughts about, you know, what you were seeing from Gronkowski into the work and then what you think the work projected engaged with Engage.
Well, I really hadn't seen him going into the work. I mean, I only got here the day before.
Okay.
But, you know, from what I saw, I mean, he certainly handled the dirt very well. I mean, he went head-to-head with a pretty good sprinter named Engage for a half mile. Then they galloped out, both of them, with good energy. And again, the track not quite as quick when he worked as earlier in the morning. But, you know, it's only a half mile. It's my first look at him. Chad, he's going to let him do a little bit more, and maybe we'll be able to tell a little bit more when I'm going to guess he's going to stretch him out to 5/8 here next weekend. We'll see who he pairs him up with. He certainly has an arsenal of good horses to put him in with. Maybe it'll be Engage again. Maybe it'll be somebody else. But, you know, first impressions are good impressions. And he's obviously got some talent. Question mark again on the main track here, but he looked good over it the other day.
Well, he'll be a fascinating portion of this as we get closer and beyond.
You know, he's certainly going to get over bad just because of the name.
Yeah.
You know, like I wrote, he's probably the most recognizable name in the race, and that includes Justify, you know, just because of the Gronkowski factor. So,
no doubt. Mike, some other horses over the weekend that are working their way toward, or at least Saturday, because yesterday had to be wet out there, but who else was making ready for their stakes assignments?
We were very busy from the latter part of the morning on. We got here, both tracks were back raked and still had a little moisture in them. Actually, they still had some moisture in them after 8:30, but they harrowed them, the main track and the training track. Most of the main track. I admit most of the dirt activity came over the training track. And we saw quite a few horses prepping for stakes here, a whole slew of them from Chad Brown's barn. Among them, Off Limits worked on the dirt. Wake Forest worked on the dirt during the early session. I'm just going through my book here. Later on, he had Lewis Bay. He had Mask and Backyard Heaven went together. That was quite a team for Chad on the main track. Todd worked a bunch. I'm just looking over the book here. But most of the major names were on the turf course today. Chad worked 8 on the grass. Catholic Boy had to work on the turf here this morning. Finished up real well, looked good. Holy Helena for Jimmy Jerkins. La Sardine for Neil Drysdale. Gauguin and Honor Up. Actually, La Sardine worked in company with the Bill Mott team of Gauguin and Honor Up. Shug worked 3. I mean, it was really hectic out there on the grass for about 20 minutes.
Caledonia Road, going back to Saturday on the main, got the bullet, actually, Mike. And, you know, you certainly, with Ralph Nix, you were prepared for her performance in the Breeders' Cup. How ready is she going to be for this Acorn? Because she's going to, obviously, catch up with some really in-form three-year-old fillies.
Yeah, and she may be a little bit against it. Not only catching up, but at a mile, probably not her best game. 2 turns, I think, is more suited to her than it is maybe for Menominee Girl and some of the others that'll be in there. But she looked good. I mean, she had a target. She ran by the target readily and drew off and galloped out well, kept out in the middle of the racetrack. They didn't want her to do too much. I'd seen her in a few of her works leading up to her first start back here, and she looked like a horse that was going to need that first race back, and she did. She just happened to catch a field that was pretty weak, and she was able to win. And she may still be one race away from her best. And, Ralph flew in for the work, and we talked a little bit afterwards, and he seems to think, the best for her will come at Saratoga when he can get her around 2 turns later in the year.
So this is more a means to the summer ends, the Coaching Club American Oaks and perhaps Alabama, that kind of a assignments.
I think she'll be at her best then, but she looked fine. I mean, she's doing well, and if she gets enough pace up front, we know she likes this racetrack. I mean, if she gets enough pace up front, I wouldn't count her out completely in here. It's just a matter of will she get rolling in time, and will the leaders come back to her? Yeah, we'll have to see how the track is playing here that day, too. I mean, some of those times we get those big days where speed is pretty tough to catch. So you know where she's going to be coming from, and he's going to need some help. And, I expect her to move forward off her last race, but I think her best may still yet to become later in the year.
I also, Mike, as we wrap up, there was one piece of news. You've had terrible, racing-wise, you've had terrible weather, as bad in Florida as anywhere else. But on a sad news note, I hadn't had a chance to mention to anybody last week the passing of Reed Combest.
Yeah, I mean, he was a terrific guy. Like, I wasn't around during his heyday, I guess. And I was there, though, when he did win the Grade 2 at Gulfstream Park, and that was terrific. And his son Phil is a close friend of mine. So, it was tough. I mean, he passed away when I was still in Kentucky. And, it's hard to lose a guy like him in any business. But, the good guys in racing, you really hate to see go. And hopefully, Phil's trying to carry on the legacy now. He's been training the horses. Reed's been a little bit, in ill health over the last couple of years. But, he was great. I remember playing golf with him not too many years ago, and it was a fun round, that's for sure.
Well, a wonderful South Florida racing family, and the Combests and everybody in the game sends their thoughts and love their direction. His wife Kathleen, they were together 70 years.
I think that's what it was. I think they were married for 70 years.
70 so. Years. It's unbelievable.
It is. It is. Yeah, and she's a great lady, too. She's very nice to me. A couple of times they had me over for Christmas and everything. And, a nice family all around, everybody.
Reed Combest, everybody, 88, and fixture on the Florida racing scene. Mike, I appreciate it. I will see you Wednesday. We'll start broadcasting from Belmont Wednesday morning.
Okay, and just a reminder, we will have a clocker report, as we did for the 2 days before the Oaks Day and Derby Day. We're going to have three of them here starting on Thursday and right straight through. We have Toby Terrell in California. I have Donald in Kentucky still, and getting a lot of help from Dave Grenning here. A lot of horses, there's two tracks here. You got to run back and forth, and couldn't do it without Dave's help too. So I think we're going to have a pretty good report. We had good luck with the Kentucky report that weekend, and hopefully we'll have a few big price winners here too to help everyone pay for the reports.
Absolutely. Pays for itself, usually with your first hit. Mike Welsh, everybody, DRF Welsh, and keep tabs. And, of course, the Belmont Clocker Report will continue on DRF.com. We will wish everybody best of luck. Gus looked at Arlington. I did not get a chance to finish anything up, and I've got to go visit my brother. We're having a barbecue at my brother's in Valencia. So... we'll talk to you tomorrow, though. Mary Epler, I think, joining us. Andy Serling, and so much more. I'll get Dr. Alday on to talk about that subfertile issue, so you can learn about that. I want to thank John Sadler and Jim Cassidy, Johnny D, Nick, and Mike Welch. Good luck today, everybody. Replay 6 to 9 tomorrow. And back with you live here on Sirius XM. And again, happy Memorial Day, and thanks to those who made the ultimate sacrifice for our freedom.
It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up with ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use ExpressFund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.